Most Iowans woke up to a blanket of white on the ground this morning, but it's early November. The snow is not likely to stay yet. There's still time to prepare your garden and landscape for the winter. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, is here, along with Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They will walk us through putting the garden to bed and making sure that our landscape plants are protected for the winter. We'll talk covering the strawberries, prepping the roses, and getting ready to fend off hungry critters. Richard and Cindy will also answer your questions. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and it looks like Mother Nature may have put all of our gardens and landscapes to bed last night, but the snow probably won't stick around, and we still have time to get some work done before winter really settles in. With me today, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Hello, Cindy. Oh, well, she'll be here any moment. You are welcome to join our conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Richard Giron is also here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And of course, we got a lot of snow. Well, not a lot of snow, but enough snow for this time in November overnight last night. But there is still plenty of work that we can do once that snow melts a little bit. So this time of year, what do we need to be thinking about with regard to the garden?
Well, one thing is to go ahead and cover the strawberries. Strawberries typically need to be covered with straw, and we typically do it around mid-November. It's good to have some cooler weather, which kind of hardens off the plants. And so around mid-November, we cover those with like 4 to 5 inches of straw. Now, if you're in a windy area, what you might want to do is after you've done that, maybe cover it with some chicken wire fencing, hardware cloth, maybe snow fence, and then put some bricks on it so the straw doesn't blow away.
All right. And so you say they have to be exposed to some cold weather. Usually we have to prevent ourselves from covering them too quickly. This year, not so much, right?
Not so much. Temperatures in the 20s at night, 40s during the day is actually good. We're mainly concerned about temperatures like in the teens and single digits. That can be damaging. So far they're fine.
All right. But in the next week or so, it would be a great idea to get out there and cover them. Anything else in the garden?
Well, going back to the strawberries, a lot of people like to use leaves from their yard, but leaves tend to mat down and they really don't provide much protection. So you want to use something like straw, which stays loose and airy. You could use pine needles. You could actually use corn stalks, but leaves, they just don't work very well.
All right. So the leaves still have to go.
Yes, you can compost those.
And that's another thing you can do. All of those leaves, you can start a compost pile. This is a great time to do that. You can take some of your grass clippings and put on the compost pile. Those twigs also. And then you can put your kitchen scraps on the compost pile all winter. So you can kind of keep that compost pile going. So that's another thing to get started this fall.
All right. And with any of the other perennial garden items, like asparagus, for example, is there anything that we need to do?
Basically nothing.
Yeah, leave that one alone.
Just leave the debris there because you could, in theory, cut it back. But we typically suggest leaving it till March or early April. And that's because that dead debris will catch snow, and the snow is a good insulator. So just leave the snow, the debris in place, and then cut it off typically late March, early April.
All right. Well, then let's move back into the yard area. Let's talk about other perennials, roses. What do we need to be doing with our roses to make sure they make it through the winter?
Yeah, with the hybrid tea roses, they're not reliably hardy in all of Iowa, so those you want to protect. The shrub roses, those hardy roses, you really don't have to do much. But with the hybrid tea roses, what I usually recommend is kind of tying up those canes a bit, putting a mound of soil or compost, you know, at the base of the plant, because that's really what you're trying to protect, that bottom foot of the plant and then putting some straw or dried leaves on top of that. And then making sure you kind of keep that whole plant as insulated as possible. This usually means you have to remove all of this in the spring, and it takes a little while to remove in the spring because that soil at the base is going to freeze. But it's a really important way to make sure you kind of protect that hybrid tea rose. The knockout rose, the hardy shrub roses, they generally don't need any of this kind of protection.
All right, and let's talk about the rose cones that you can still buy.
Yes, you can still buy those rose cones. So the other option is cutting the roses back and putting a rose cone over it. It's a styrofoam rose cone. And these don't work as well because, you know, you have to put something on top of it so that they don't blow away, because they blow away and it does get windy in Iowa. And then they also heat up a little bit too much during like that February, March time frame. And then actually the plant maybe starts to grow a little too early and then get zapped by another frost. So it's actually just save your money. Don't buy the rose cones. Instead, do this kind of soil and straw instead.
All right. I think we're so drawn to those easy fixes like a rose cone. It looks so complete and safe and secure.
It looks so tidy. So you don't have anything kind of blowing, you know, it's tidy until it starts to blow around. And then it's not working anymore.
All right. How about any other perennials we need to be thinking about?
Well, with hostas and some of the daylilies and peonies, the foliage is probably dead by now. You can do a little cleanup on those. So you can just remove that foliage, add it to the compost pile. I usually stay with mums, those garden mums that were kind of late planted. I leave them alone because it's like the asparagus. You want it to kind of capture that excess snow and help insulate it. But, you know, you can do a little cleanup in the perennial garden. You can also, this is still a great time to plant bulbs and those other perennials like daffodils.
Which is great news, because as the snow started to fall last night, I thought, oh, no, I haven't planted my bulbs.
I still have some as well. And that's okay, because you can still get them out there until the ground freezes or until we get way too much snow. So I might be doing that soon.
Right. Yeah. So really in the next week when the temperatures get back into the 40s is a great time to go out and plant those bulbs. All right, let's talk about preparing for the deer and the rabbits that get really hungry once the snow falls. What should we be thinking about and taking preparations for?
Especially with the rabbits, you want to use fencing. Again, hardware cloth, chicken wire fencing. Make a nice cylinder. It should be at least 24 inches tall. 36 inches would be great. And have that in place soon so that they don't go out there, the rabbits, and nibble or browse on the branches or the bark. If you have small trees like crab apples, apples, any small tree, the bark layer is very, very thin. And they will basically chew on that and look for the tissue beneath the bark and feed on that. And they can actually girdle a tree fairly quickly in a matter of a few days, and if they girdle a tree, they have essentially destroyed it. So make sure that's in place fairly soon.
All right, and you said 36 inches, and when I see a bunny stand up on its hind legs, it can't get that high. So why do we need to protect that far up?
Because it snows in Iowa. And if we have a deep snow, they can get on top of that snow, and they can reach over the top. So it should be at least 24 inches. 36 inches would be great. In the past, I've had plants where we had some heavy snow, and they did get over the top, and they did destroy some plants. So,
all right, and if you're going to all the trouble of doing it anyway, you might as well make it tall, right?
And if we do have a heavy snow, go out there and possibly inspect the plants, and if necessary, remove some snow so they can't reach over the top.
All right, and do you feel like that also protects the stems or the really tender parts of the plants from deer?
Well, for deer, the main problem that is rubbing in the fall, where the males, the bucks, basically will rub small trees, and they can damage or destroy trees. That's mainly a fall thing. In the winter months, they mainly feed on evergreens, like your yews, your arborvitae, and they love arborvitae. So if you have something like arborvitae, you might have to use some fencing on that too so they can't reach it. I have seen arborvitae that were pruned by deer. They're funny looking plants because their bottom is kind of shorter or smaller. But they love arborvitae, so make sure that there's some fencing there so they can't reach it.
All right. Anything else we should be thinking about?
I think sometimes we think about, and maybe not as important this year, but in years past, we also think about watering newly planted trees and shrubs. And remember this, that those newly planted trees and shrubs, especially those evergreens, might need a little drink of water even in the middle of winter, especially if it's very windy and dry. And if we go into a dry fall, we might have a tendency to have more winter burn on those evergreens. So I know we got lots of rain in most of the state in the last month, but it's something to keep an eye out. And if there's a time to water, maybe once more between now and March, you might think about that.
Right, especially if you haven't put the hose away yet, which, mm-hmm. again, I think a lot of us were caught unaware. I'm just speaking personally here. But all right, well, let's dive into some questions. Cindy Haynes and Richard Giron here with me today. You can join us at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dean is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Dean.
Hi, I'm so glad to get to talk with you today.
Sure, what's your question?
Well, I had a ginkgo tree planted that I got from a local nursery here, and it was planted September of 2016. So it has been in the ground and doing well for two summers. It did show some spots on the leaves or spraying on the leaves, and we sent it down to Richard and the gang down there at mm-hmm. Iowa State, and they came back with a report that it looked like it was subject to some Roundup drift. And so I took the advice, didn't fertilize it this summer. It has looked great, but both last fall and this fall, it dropped its leaves without turning yellow. And mm-hmm. I just wondered what the weather conditions, if that had something to do with that, or whether it's the soil.
Well, actually, that's not uncommon as far as the leaf drop. They tend to develop a nice yellow color if we have a long, prolonged fall. If we have a sudden freeze,
right.
They are very sensitive to freezing temperatures. And if we have a sudden freeze, what they will do is they'll drop immediately within like 48 hours. Everything will drop. So I think that's what probably occurred. We just had a very early freeze, and then we had total leaf drop.
All right, and that shouldn't hurt the tree?
No, it's perfectly fine.
It's just not very pretty.
No, right.
All right, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Dean, thank you so much for your call. You can join the conversation with your questions as well. 866-780-9100. With me today, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at ISU. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions about any of the plants or trees in your life. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Mary is on the line next in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I have a question about my oak trees. I have two oak trees along my fence line. One is a bur oak and one is a pin oak. And I noticed when I was out there cleaning away the creeping Charlie to remulch around it that about 8 inches from the ground, I'm getting these little holes like size of a large grain of rice. That is, I stuck a thing in and it's about an inch deep. Then I noticed on the other tree later, a couple days later, that they are getting some holes, but they are about maybe 3 feet from the ground. Is this something I should be worrying about, or is there anything I should be doing about this? Do you know what this is going on?
I would be concerned, but I guess I would base the health of the tree on its appearance. Was it fully leafed out? Good canopy cover? To me, that's the key.
What?
To me, that's the key. That apparently there might be some minor insect damage, but if the main part of the tree is well leafed out, you don't have a lot of dead wood in the tree, then I think the tree itself is in pretty good shape. There's really nothing you can do.
They're about 10 years old.
The trees are about how
old? 10 to 12 years. 10 to 12 years old.
Okay. I would continue to monitor or check the trees. I guess the worst thing that I would possibly see in the future might be where some of the bark may come off, because I would suspect maybe these areas have been damaged. And if the damage increases over time, then you may have pieces of bark that come off. That would be not a good thing. But I would be looking for that. But in the meantime, there's really nothing to do at this point.
Okay. Just monitor it and see what happens in the future.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
That relieves me a lot.
Good. Thanks a lot for your call, Mary. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Here's a question from Trish in Mason City. I have a sweet bay tree, and it was outside all summer long. The leaves now have brown spots on them. Mm-hmm. And she's wondering what they are. She's guessing that it's scale, but doesn't know what scale is. So do you want to explain scale, and then we'll talk about these brown spots?
Well, if it is scale and they're on the leaf, you can take your thumb, and with your thumbnail, you can scrape them off. If it's some type of leaf spot, then it's a spot where the tissue has turned brown. You can't do that. So if it were a scale, you can scrape them off. And basically what scale does, they're an insect, and they suck sap from the plant tissue, and they feed on the sugars within that sap. And then they have all this material that they have to get rid of, so they excrete that. And so it falls on the lower leaves of the plant, on the floor or whatever. And so that's typically what most people see first. They notice this sticky sap on their plant, on the table, or on the floor. And so if you see that, you typically suspect scale.
Okay.
And sweet bay is a type of magnolia, and magnolias do often get scale. So that's probably a good assumption.
All right. So if it is scale, what do you do?
Well, if it's just a few, you can actually just scrape them off. That's kind of tedious, but you can. Just scrape them off with your thumbnail. If not, then you can use insecticidal soap and spray that on a regular basis, because it's hard to kill the existing adult scale. But they do reproduce, and the young ones, basically, when they emerge, they don't have this protective covering. And so insecticidal soap will kill them when they do emerge.
All right, and when you have scale, let's just talk about visually, because she did send a picture, which unfortunately I can't show you, but the brown spots look flat. If it's scale, does it look like a bump?
It kind of does look like a bump, right. Not a very big bump. Oftentimes they're kind of oval in shape, but they're just like a little bump on the leaf or the stem itself.
Okay, well, then I'm going to suspect that this is not scale, because these brown spots are pretty widespread on the leaves, and there are also white spots as well, and they look pretty flat. Her question is, can she cut this back and start over?
She can. Magnolias do have, you know, a lot of new growth, and they'll do a lot of this new growth in the spring. Sweet Bay is kind of at the northern limit of Sweet Bay magnolia, so I might say.
And it's a house plant. I mean, it's in a pot.
Oh, Sweet Bay is a house plant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So she can cut it back, but I wouldn't cut it back too much, because she needs to see how much new growth it had before, because this isn't one that usually produces a ton of new growth, and if you cut it back severely, then it takes it a while to kind of come back. Yeah, and if it's not a magnolia, that makes a big difference as a houseplant, because it'll grow a lot more. But it's not one of the most vigorous of houseplants. So cutting it back a little bit would be fine. I would tell her to wait to cut this back until February or March, right before we know that it's going to grow well. Yeah, to clean up any of those leaves that are damaged and remove them so that it doesn't spread to other leaves.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Les is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Les.
Hi there.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I didn't really have a question so much as I have a comment. You guys were talking about deer coming in and having their way with things once it gets cold outside. And I recently, last year, we put bushes in, blueberry bushes, early in the year, and they got nice and tall by winter. They're kind of in a spot where we couldn't really see them that well. And then when I finally looked at them halfway through the winter, they had been completely eaten to the ground. So I thought if anyone like me had new blueberry bushes in, they might want to know to take extra care because apparently deer find them especially delicious.
All right, good advice. Put a, maybe a hardware cloth cage around those, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
We just made a little chicken wire cage, and I've seen the deer coming in the yard for at least a month now, and the bushes are untouched. I did some research, a.k.a. a half hour on Google, and like I said, apparently blueberry bushes are particularly enticing to them. So,
all right,
Les. Thought other folks might want to know. Yep. Love your program. Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the call. some good advice there from Les. Vic all is right. on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Vic.
Hi. Hey, I've got some nanberry and dogwood from the DNR State Nursery that came in last week. Am I still good to plant them this fall?
I would go ahead and do it, yes, as soon as possible next week if you can. Water them in nicely. Keep on watering those until the ground freezes. How many do you have?
25 each.
Okay. So.
But I got help.
Okay. So do you know where you want to put them permanently? Okay, I would plant them where you want those, water them in nicely, check them for rabbits again because they're small plants, and make sure the rabbits aren't causing any damage periodically.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Let's do a few email questions here, though. talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. From Janelle in Marion, we got our first treatment for Creeping Charlie on, but haven't had a chance to apply the second. Is it too late?
No, I would try to get that done next week.
All right, and here, this one's from Amanda in Tripola. I have a dwarf blue Arctic willow shrub that is a couple of years old in my landscape. This September and October, we resided our house, and the top of the middle branches of the plant got squashed and snapped off by the equipment. I know I'm not supposed to prune it in the fall, but can I at least clean cut the branches that have been snapped?
I would cut off the broken branches, yes. Absolutely.
All right. And from Deb, do I need to do anything to winterize my hydrangeas?
Typically not, but if you have one of the big leaf hydrangeas, you might want to take some soil from the garden and maybe cover the bottom 4 or 5, 6 inches with soil. Soil is a very good insulator, and the big leaf hydrangeas bloom on old wood and new wood, and so if we have a hard winter, hopefully that will encourage some of that to survive.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 866-780-9100. Ralph is on the line in Grinnell. Hi, Ralph.
Hi there. Got a little snow on the ground. There's two different kinds of trees. The mulberry, it seems like there's black ants bothering, and then the black ants are bothering a couple oak trees. Should those trees be sprayed, the oak, to kill those ants off?
No, not really. What you might be seeing possibly would be carpenter ants. Those are black ants, typically quite large, and you'll typically see these climbing up trees, and often what is happening is that carpenter ants make their home in moist, soft, decaying wood. And so if you have a bigger tree, if you have a cavity, if you have some rotting wood, and the carpenter ants come upon it, they may choose to make their nest there. And basically, when they do that, they will excavate some of that rotting wood and place it in a little pile near the tree. And so you oftentimes see that. But the actual carpenter ants aren't really causing harm to the tree. That when you see them, they're a warning sign that you have decay or some rotting wood. And that's the main concern right there.
All right, Ralph, thanks a lot for your call. Now let's talk to Brian in Des Moines. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I was just curious. My wife and I want to build a wattle fence, I believe it's called, mm-hmm. for her strawberry patch. And we're looking at using probably willow from a family member's farm. Mm-hmm. Just curious what time of year would be best to harvest that and build such a fence.
You can do it almost any time. You want to make sure that the stems are sturdy enough so that, you know, that new growth that happens in the spring might need to firm up a little bit. But I've seen people who did this in summer, they've done it in fall, they've even taken some of this in winter, because willow is a very flexible stem, so you can kind of weave it in and out to create that wattle fence. Any time will be fine. You should also know that willow has a tendency to root. So if you create that wattle fence and you insert certain pieces into the soil, it may actually root and start to grow next year. Not unheard of.
Okay.
Which is
all right. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Brian. You can join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Sarah is on the line in Waterloo. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there.
What's your question?
I just want to know if it's too late to plant grass seed. I have a couple of big bags of it still sitting around, and I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's too late, so I would put it in a cool, dry place and store it there. You can do it next spring, but the best time typically is mid-August to mid-September, but right now it's too late.
All right, and if she saved that grass seed for next August, is it still going to work?
It should be fine, yes. Make sure it's kept nice and dry and cool.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for your call. Let's do an email question here. This one's from Gail. I moved into a new-to-us townhouse from our old house with an established perennial garden. I like my new home, but I will miss my garden. My space is limited, but I have two large beds adjoining our deck. The bases of the beds are elevated, no ground contact. I'm wondering which perennials I could transplant that might be able to survive in these planters. And she's wondering about hellebores, Japanese anemones, dictamus, or gas plant.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Those are pretty hardy plants, but if she's going to put them in an elevated kind of raised bed, I'd really want to make sure there's plenty of root insulation or protection, because some of these, like the hellebores, bloom really early, and coral bells are another one, and they might have a tendency to lift or heave over the winter. So I would say give it a try, but do recognize the fact that it may be kind of a 50-50. I don't know.
All right. Well, and she's also wondering if there's anything she can do to moderate those temperature swings.
Yes. Yeah, so some people, you know, will make sure that they, you know, maybe insulate a raised bed even more by adding more straw or other things on top. It often depends on how severe the winter gets.
And right, but it's not just the cold coming from the top. It's coming from
the bottom,
around,
and
right.
It's the root system that's getting cold. And usually soil is that, you know, awesome insulator, and it's hard to freeze at all. So when you freeze the roots and it gets too low, and that's what happens when you have that elevated. It's usually toast for most plants. I might actually tell her to try the least expensive of those options. You know, the gas plant is a really special perennial and usually hard to find and fairly expensive, and see how this works a winter or two before I try it.
All right.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's not a good
answer.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Charles is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Charles.
Yes, good morning.
What's your question?
This is in reference to fertilizing a 30-inch diameter maple tree. It's the only fertilizer and nitrogen source it's gotten over the last few years is from my neighbor fertilizing his grass lawn. I've got 12-0-12 on hand and a 16-6-16 pasture fertilizer accessible to me. And I understand you can fertilize a maple after its leaves has fallen, which they have. And I was thinking, you know, maybe a pound or two around the maybe 12 feet, 14 feet out from the center of the tree.
Well, actually, I don't really see a need to fertilize the tree. Most trees in Iowa, there's really no need to fertilize trees. Most Iowa soils are quite fertile. And most trees are perfectly fine on their own. And maples are very, very efficient in getting water and nutrients. They have a very extensive root system. They're very efficient. So I don't really see a need to fertilize the tree.
Okay. Good advice. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Charles. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Aaron from Northwood called to ask if it's too late to plant hostas.
Oh, it's getting there. If these hostas haven't been outside and acclimated to the cold and that their foliage is essentially dying at this point, I would say it's probably a little bit too late. You can always heal them in, so you can plant them in a protected location in the container and then put a bunch of straw or leaves around them so that, you know, they should be fine for planting in the spring.
Okay, so put them in a container outside?
Yeah, you can put them in a container outside. I probably wouldn't put them in a container outside until it warmed up just a little bit. Because the cold weather right now is going to zap them, and that's okay. But if you, once again, sink that pot in the soil, then you're insulating it, and then you can plant it in the spring. If it has been outside and you have yellow leaves and it's acclimated, sure, you can plant it in the final spot and it should be okay.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back to answer your questions in just a moment. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this hour, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. You can join the conversation with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's an email question from Kevin. He says, my wife really loves the Zone 7 ornamental grasses we planted this summer. They're already the laughter. All right. He says, is there anything we can do to help them survive, or would that just be a waste of time?
Basically a waste of time.
You can attempt, if we have a mild winter, you can attempt to mound a bunch of stuff like leaves or straw around the base. But Zone 7 is really going to be, it's time to start shopping for those grasses for next year.
Right. You knew when you planted them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have some very nice ornamental grasses, native mm-hmm. grasses that do great, perfectly mm-hmm. hardy, but we're in zones basically 4 and 5, and 7 is
pushing it
way south.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And I can't actually see the future, but it doesn't feel like we're getting ready for a mild winter.
No, not this weekend. It doesn't feel like that. Yes. No.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. John is on the line in Boone. Hi, John.
Good morning, Charity. Enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks.
I live in rural Boone County, and this spring a mature oak tree failed to leaf out. It's a white oak surrounded by other white oaks, and this spring it's probably more than a century old. It failed to leaf out. Any idea what caused its death?
Boy, it's hard to say. My biggest concern would be oak wilt, which is a fungal disease.
Right.
But you would notice symptoms in mid to late summer, where the leaves basically would start to turn yellow or brown and then fall off. And if it's a white oak, normally the trees will decline over years, maybe 1 or 2 years before it finally dies. So if the tree was perfectly fine and then the next spring it didn't leaf out, that is not oak wilt. So I'm not sure what it is, but oak wilt would be my biggest fear, because that could move from tree to tree to tree through the root grafts. So
okay.
Apparently it's not that.
Over the last 2 or 3 years, I've noticed the lower limbs of this oak that died were dying off, so this may have been a long time coming. But it was a beautiful tree. It's dead. Just curious. Okay, thanks for your input.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, John. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Ida is on the line in Pella. Hi, Ida.
My question is burlap a good product to use to wrap to protect a newly planted maple tree from deer and rabbits?
Boy, basically what I would do on the deer is I would take some metal fence posts or some very sturdy wooden stakes, and I would pound those in the ground in a triangle around the trunk about 12 inches apart, okay? And that will prevent the buck from sticking his head in there and damaging the trunk. As far as the rabbits, what I would typically use is hardware cloth. And I would cut it and make a cylinder. There should be at least an inch between the fencing and the tree itself. And so tie that together, and that can stay on the tree. That can stay around the tree basically year-round for hopefully 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Is burlap detrimental in any way?
Well, rabbits, for example, can chew through burlap.
Okay.
They cannot chew through metal fencing very well. So that would be my choice. You can use burlap maybe as a screen as far as maybe to prevent winter injury on your broadleaf evergreens, but it doesn't really prevent rabbit damage.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for your call, Ida. And next up, this one bears repeating. Judith is on the line in Coralville. Hi, Judith.
Good morning, Charity. Love your show. Love
Thanks.
To hear you talk. I'm the queen of procrastination this year and have a huge huge basket of bulbs
yes.
that are sitting in the garage looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I too late?
No, you're not too late. You can still plant them. I probably wouldn't plant them this weekend. It's not real comfortable.
No.
Not comfortable to be out. But when it warms up and before the ground freezes in the next week or two, they probably need to be planted. And I am in the same boat. I have some bulbs too. And I will be planting. I will be planting next week.
Try to get them in there by Thanksgiving.
Yes.
If you can do that, you'll be fine.
All right, Judith, thanks a lot. I know the three of us are not alone.
No.
I'm going to give some bulbs to Richard so he can be a number four.
Perfect. All right, Ryan is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. So I have a question. I recently bought a house about 5 years ago, brand new house, and it's a new development. And I noticed that numerous maple trees throughout my developments that, you know, these builders have planted are dying off. And throughout the summer, I had to fight some rough bluegrass that I was trying to kill in my yard. And in removing that grass, I noticed that all the roots on my trees, the maples are staying above the ground and not really, it seems like they're not getting very well rooted due to the hard clays that remain.
Well, I will say that maples tend to have very shallow roots to begin with, that as they grow, it's not uncommon to see surface roots. But if you do have a clay soil, that's going to make them even more prone to have shallow roots. Depending on the type of tree, if it's a Freeman maple, which is widely planted, they almost grow anywhere. So now if it's a sugar maple, they're a little bit more demanding. But the Freeman maples are very, very adaptable, very tolerant. So I'm not sure what the issue might be if it's a Freeman maple.
So like red maples is primarily what I've noticed have died off.
Okay. Well,
and
if it's...
my concern is over the years, with those roots, you know, that are on the surface, I mean, they can get rather large because they're expanding quite a range outside of the base of the tree.
Absolutely.
And you just wonder, you know, 10 years from now, what do you do with roots that are sticking up in your yard?
I have a large red maple in my backyard, and I have several large surface roots. And I mow around that tree very, very carefully. That's what I do. You really can't do much when they do that, because if you were to cover them with maybe 2 or 3 inches of soil, that's only a temporary solution. They'll resurface again as they keep on growing. If you put on too much soil, that may damage the root system. So if you put on like a foot of soil, that may kill the tree. You could mulch around the tree. That would keep away the lawnmower, but I simply mow around it very carefully.
Very good.
All right, Ryan, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Bob in Iowa City. Hi, Bob.
So I have two small bonsai plants, both in pots. They've been outdoors all year. One's juniper, one's a tea plant. And so they've been outside up to now, so I suppose there's some hardening has happened. Mm-hmm. My question is, what do I do for the rest of the winter when it really gets cold with these two small plants?
Right. You're going to try and heal them in. They are hardy plants, and you've let them acclimate. But once again, that root system, even in a container, can be exposed. So you're going to try and find a place that isn't windy, that allows maybe a little bit of light, that you can kind of sink the pots or put some soil around the containers, and you're going to protect mm-hmm. them from rabbits or other kind of critters that might try and eat on them. So usually this is next to a building or next to a large tree, and then you just kind of insulate them or heal them in with some compost or soil, or actually dig them into the ground a little bit and a little bit of straw on top and maybe some fencing around it. And this works well for a lot of people who have those kind of those hardy bonsai and how they overwinter them. You could also potentially bring them into a detached garage or someplace that stays cool, like in the 40s, maybe mm-hmm. above freezing. That would be another option as well.
Okay. Well, we have a heated garage that probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, if it gets, it really needs to stay in that, if it's a hardy bonsai, then it really needs to stay around that 40 degrees temperature. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, yeah, if you've got those two options, and it sounds like an outside, well-protected might be your best option.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Bob. Cindy, if you did bring it into an unheated mm-hmm. garage, would the lack of light cause any kind? I mean, I realize that they're not actively in photosynthesis,
right.
but...
A lot of the deciduous trees, it wouldn't bother them too much. That evergreen juniper, you know, putting it close to a window might be important. They don't need a lot of light because usually if it's super cold, they're not photosynthesizing a great deal. If you could put it in an unheated garage next to a window, if you have it, so that it gets some light, maybe not a lot of direct light, that would be best. They can tolerate actually a couple of months, you know, with very little light.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's do an email question here from Vanessa in Dubuque. I have some strawberries in a container that have done really well on my patio over the summer. When should I move them to the garage to overwinter them?
Now, we get them in as soon as possible. Once again, they're going to go dormant, or you're going to hope that they're going to go dormant, and keep them once again at that above freezing but below 40 degrees. And if they go dormant, they shouldn't need any light. So,
all right. And how successful can you be in overwintering strawberries in a container?
If you have those conditions, I think you'll be fine.
Right.
That's the key. If it gets real cold, they may not make it. If it's real warm, they're going to start to grow, which
right.
is dire for them.
And right. And you may have to check them for water once or twice because they might dry out and you may need to water. But yeah, the strawberries are pretty easy, believe it or not, if you can give them the right conditions.
All right. Here's a question from Grace in Durant. We're moving from our current home in the spring of 2019, and I have two tree peony plants that I would really love to transplant to our new home.
Wow.
Is it okay to transplant them there now? If not, will I be okay transplanting them in early spring?
Early spring would
yeah.
be better.
Yeah, this is one you spent a lot of money on. Let's make sure we get this one right.
All right,
early spring. Early spring, yes.
Before it begins to leaf out.
Yes.
And here's a question from Nancy. Should we cut back our ornamental grass now or in the spring?
I would leave it till spring because they provide some winter interest, but you could do it if you want to.
Yeah, you could, but they look so good in the winter, just letting
with
them
the
stand.
With the snow, mm-hmm. and yeah, mm-hmm. it is nice. All right, let's go back to the phone. Susan is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Oh, Susan is not on the line in Cedar Rapids. Irvin is on the line in Oskaloosa. Hi, Irvin.
Hi. I got a question. I've always raked up all of them, took a bagger, and I've bagged all my leaves in the fall in the back. I've got a big maple tree back there, and I've always kept my grass down. I run over it several times. It really made it pretty. I'm beginning to think that I was kind of hard on my yard from getting on it so much to cleaning everything up. Is it best? I've left it go to about 6 inches tall and left the leaves on it. Is that beneficial? Are leaves beneficial to the grass? I've had people tell me it has nutrients in it. I don't know about that.
It all depends upon the quantity. If the leaf debris covers the grass, completely covers the grass, it may tend to smother the grass. So you should rake it off, or you can chop it up with a lawnmower. And as long as the debris kind of shifts down into the grass, you're fine. But if the debris covers the grass, that is not acceptable.
Well, they were kind of, it's a deciduous leaf, so it just kind of crinkles up. And I've got an oak tree there that's going to layers it, and I'm going to pick those up. But I kind of wondered back there in the back if I should leave it for the protection of the winter.
No, I would try to, again, the key is, does that leaf debris cover the grass? Because if it does, it may suffocate the grass, so I would try to get it off. But if you have fairly small quantities and you chop it up with a lawnmower and they kind of filter down into the grass, you're perfectly fine.
All right, and that even can be beneficial, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
So a good mulching mower can save you a lot of
yes.
work. Mm-hmm. All right, here is an email question from Martha in Iowa City. I'd like to plant a Japanese maple. What is the root system as it's maybe 5 feet from concrete?
Ooh, okay, so a Japanese maple is, some of them are marginally hardy, so that's something you need to think about. We want to make sure it's a really hardy cultivar of a Japanese maple. It's not a very large tree, so it can be very close to the house. But usually these are also very expensive. So what I typically do, and I have a few Japanese maples, is I have them in containers that I bring in and out over the winter. So I take them out in the spring, bring them in over the winter. So, and that might be a place that she could put it and just maintain it that way.
All right. And if you... Mm-hmm. grow them that way. I mean, does that contain them? Does it keep them smaller?
It does keep them a little. This is a tree that's typically a bonsai, so it will keep them a little bit smaller. And then you can still have that nice benefit, and you can kind of move them around. They can be pruned. She could plant one, and it can be pruned. It takes pruning really well, so she could keep it smaller even in that space. So it is one that will tolerate that space. It's just one that is maybe marginally cold hardy. So it really
needs
to... Make sure
it's a hardy variety.
Yeah.
That's the key, because there are many, many varieties. Most will not survive well in Iowa. Make sure it's a good hardy variety.
And that space might have that microclimate to help it survive, but it all depends on the winter.
Well, and Rob actually has a comment on a Japanese maple. He says, my wife and I live in Fort Dodge, and we have a Japanese maple growing outside our house in town. It was a major selling point for the house, as we're both Iowa State grads and love the few Japanese maples on campus. I'm not sure on the age. And he wanted to canvass all our listeners. We don't have time for that about, does anyone else have one as far north as Fort Dodge? But, I mean, is that really unusual to have a Japanese maple that far north?
That is pushing it. Ames is pushing it sometimes. So we see some nice ones in Des Moines. And the ones that are doing well in Ames on campus are usually close to buildings on an eastern side. And they usually don't always last forever either. So Fort Dodge is fairly far north. Yes.
All right. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question from Kelly. We'll try to squeeze this in. I have a question about lilac tree damage. I have 7 lilac trees that are almost 10 years old. I have Creeping Charlie from my neighbor's yard that has invaded my lilac hedge. I attempted to treat the Creeping Charlie with Roundup at the edge of the fence line, but now I've noticed the lilac leaves have started to curl, droop, and fade in color. Have I damaged my lilac trees?
I think you may have, because lilacs tend to sucker, and if you got any of that herbicide on the suckers, that may have damaged the trees, yes.
All right, does she need to replace them?
I would wait and see what they do next spring.
They'll probably be okay.
All right.
We're hoping.
Thanks for the optimistic note to end on. Cindy Haynes and Richard Giron, thank you both so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at ISU. Richard Giron, ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist. We'll be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.